Back to the Beat. Bulls Beat continues with Derek Sharp.
Heading into the last week of the softball season. First of all, great crowds this weekend. Secondly, an explanation why we did not have the softball game on Saturday night. After calling three contests in a little bit less than 24 hours, my voice was starting to tire. And that, coupled with the fact that baseball spilled over beyond the start of softball on Saturday, and frankly, that FAU had four runs, I'm like, I think the signs are pointing to me not doing the game. And I was right to do it because the game went more than 3 hours on Saturday. We'll tell you what happened, including a great crowd from Sunday, the last chance to see the Bulls at home in all reality. We'll explain why here shortly. Before we get into the highlights, and after which we'll tell you where the Bulls fit in the standings and what the outlook is for them as far as seeding for the conference tournament, we will tell you what FAU had at stake, and it was plenty. The Owls, to their credit, as we said, came in first place. Three teams have separated themselves from the pack. It was FAU, Charlotte, and North Texas. And man, what a wild Friday for North Texas. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But FAU knew it had to win the series to still be in control of its own fate. And more than that, and this is where I freely admit my mistake in assuming that, like baseball, softball was going to have 8 out of the 10 teams qualify for the conference tournament, meaning if you finish in the bottom two, your season's over. I'm wrong. Learned on Sunday morning, actually. Learned by watching back the Saturday game that I didn't see every single bit of. And Ryan Urquhart is doing a great job explaining the conference seedings and where things stand today. And I'm like, wait a second, everybody gets in. Well, it's more than that. It's everybody gets in, and there's a major advantage if you finish in the top two. Here's the format. Everybody will be in Wichita next week. The tournament starts Wednesday. The top two seeds both get a bye into the semifinals. Everybody else has to play four games if they want to win a conference championship. If you're top two, you just have to win two. Needless to say, there's a massive difference between finishing second and finishing third. I'll give you my opinions on which after we get through the highlights and tell you where the Bulls are in the standings and what their outlook is. But point is, FAU was playing for a ton. Basically a chance to lock up a top two finish, and we'll explain why. But the Owls indeed look like they've done that because they defeated the Bulls 2 out of 3. Not on Friday, though. FAU came to town with a .317 batting average in conference play, and you could see why eventually on Saturday and Sunday. But Peyton Dixon quieted them down, only allowed 2 hits, which is just phenomenal, and did not allow one from the leadoff batter in the top of the second until 2 outs in the game. Bulls got her all the run support she would need in the bottom of the second, and this was on Senior Day. As we said, the reason that they held their Senior Day ceremony on Friday was because it was the only day where baseball was not going to be playing at the same time, and you know, you run the risk of having a baseball walk-off victory and a bunch of noise going on while you're trying to honor your seniors. So those that have transferred in, Marissa Trivelpiece, Ryan Eigenman, Bailey Dripola, Sam Malander were all honored, along with Alyssa Reno in her second year, and Bulls that have been with the program for a longer period of time, Jordan Cadlub and Lexi Kopka. Well, one of those seniors had not had a multi-hit game since weekend one of conference play. She was motivated, and she got things going, and then little old sophomore got the scoring started and, as it turned out, finished.
Trivelpiece led the Bulls last year in hits and homers and RBI. Hasn't been able to duplicate that this year, but I have a feeling she's going to have a special game, or at least a special weekend. She kind of rises to those occasions. The former Michigan State player takes a close one outside. 4-3-1. Here it is. Oh, Trivelpiece gets underneath that one. It's deep. It's going to right field, and it is off the base of the wall. Rivera had to hold up, and Ken Erickson's going to have to put the stop sign on. Boy, she almost made it a real special first at bat of Senior Day, but as it is, a cracked double. That ball was well out of the zone high, and Trivelpiece wanted it. Second and third, 2 out after a blast of a double by Marissa Trivelpiece, but then a ground out followed it. Garcia Soto lines the ball to the left side. That is going to bring home Rivera with the game's first run. Excellent piece of hitting by Kathy, and the Bulls are on top 1-0.
And frankly, there were not a ton of opportunities that felt like anything close to a scoring threat Dixon did hit a batter and walk one with two outs in the third, but got a pop-up on the next pitch, no problem. Bulls, frankly, were getting shut down by Trinity Schlotterbeck. This game zipped along. A walk and a sack bunt in the bottom of the sixth had you thinking there might be some insurance to come, but no dice. And now the very dangerous part of the FAU order, the middle, which included their leading hitter, Trinity Schlotterbeck, who did a great job pitching, took a tough losing decision, but looked like she was going to come up with her home run slugging bat with a runner on base. No, said the reigning as a freshman defensive player of the year in the conference, and then Peyton Dixon finished it off.
Hit 295 and has just been way better than that, even though last year wasn't bad. She golfs that ball. Kathy Garcia Soto does her thing. That ball was hammered, and Garcia Soto had no time to think, and she grabs it for the first out. She barely had time to move, much less leap in the air, and did both. Wow, what a big catch. And we're not surprised to see that, but in this particular situation, that's just an enormous play. As big as it gets. It's her second year with the Owls. Did start 49 games last year. Chopper up the middle. Dixon knocks it to herself. Has time to make the throw and makes it. What a gem. Payday cashing in a second straight shutout. And this time against the first place team in the conference, the FAU Owls. Man, oh man, that was special. Peyton Dixon delivers.
That she did. Second straight complete game shutout. Unfortunately for the Bulls, it was their second straight weekend where that was the only win, and it was 1-0 both times. The offense scored the most it had in a loss on Saturday. We'll give you the wild details. But as it turned out, FAU jumped all over the Bulls to the tune of 6-0 and 5-0 leads to secure the series victory. And to their credit, they rolled on Saturday to a 6-0 lead. Bell Sarja, 2 weeks removed from shutting out Wichita State and rightly being named the AAC Pitcher of the Week, quickly fell behind and, in fact, was removed in the first inning. There was an error behind her that did not help her cause. Should have been two outs and one on. But after that, a four-pitch walk. And then Trinity Schlotterbeck was ready to swing the bat, a two-run double. Again, she's one that had a three-homer, nine RBI game and 10 homers coming in. And that one should have cleared the bases, but thanks for the ground rule, it didn't. And then you had two more runs for the Owls. Schlotterbeck would make it 6-0 with a two-run homer off of Lexi Kopko in the top of the third. But the Bulls had a magnificent bottom of the third inning where they made it a game. Bailey DiPolo was hit by a pitch. Marissa Trivelpiece walked. By the way, Marissa Trivelpiece went 0-for-0 technically in this game, but with three walks and two HBP. Becca Sacco, the FAU starter, hit four batters. She'd only hit more than one once, and that was two. This was a different story. Trivelpiece had a magnet, as apparently did the rest of the team. Then Alana Rivera singles to right to make it 6-2. Dania Brooks smashes a two-run double to chase their starting pitcher, and it was 6-4. The Bulls actually stranded a couple of runners. You thought they might come all the way back then. And then the top of the fourth was really when FAU got a big, quick answer back. Alex Wright entered and was fantastic. Three-plus innings, no runs allowed, one hit. So she kept the Bulls in the game. And they chipped away. They did strand some runners, including the bases loaded in the bottom of the sixth. And then after a two-run double by Ryan Eigeman with the bases loaded, made it 10-8. You had runners on second and third, but Brooks pops up. It was a heck of a comeback effort by South Florida, but FAU, thanks to that 6-0 lead, was able to hang on. Bulls stranded 14 runners in this game. Through the first two games, Trivelpiece's on-base percentage went from .333 to .362. Again, she reached base five times without a hit. In game two, Alexa Galligani went 3-for-4, three runs, deservedly seeing a five-game hitless streak where she had been hitting the ball but not seeing anything drop in. And then two RBI each for Olivia Elliott, Alana Rivera, Eigeman, and Brooks for Elliott. One came in on her fourth triple of the season. She's got 12 extra base hits and is hitting .261. Then in the finale on Sunday before a crowd of more than 1,600, it was a tremendous turnout. You had some FAU fans there, obviously, and the Bulls lose the game by the score of 6-2. Similar to Saturday, FAU jumps ahead. Peyton Dixon, after shutting out the Owls in this game, struggled with the control just a little bit at the very beginning, And Jess Mora pounded a ground rule double that seemed like something maybe the Bulls were going to work their way around, because should have gone for a 2-0 lead, but kept it 1-0 because of the ground rule. And then after they intentionally walked Schlotterbeck to load the bases, a ball that was hit slowly on the ground to Dania Brooks, and you could see it. She was trying to decide whether to throw home or at least get the runner at second, maybe turn a double play, and bobbled the ball a little bit, turned into an infield single with a fielding error, making it 3-0, and that was enough, as it turned out, for the Owls, because they added two more in the top of the second. It seemed like that was going to be it for Dixon. She threw 45 pitches in the first inning alone, mid-80s through three, but she really settled down and did a great job of bouncing back and keeping the Bulls in the game. Ended up going into the seventh inning. Meanwhile, USF made a game of it in the bottom of the third.
That ball is off the glove of the pitcher, and it's going to lead to an infield single by Jordan Cadliff. That's one where the pitcher's trying to maybe turn two, even possibly, if she makes the play. You got to call it a hit. It's not really an error. 1-1 to her, and that hits down the right side. It was off the first baseman's bag. It's a fair ball. Galligani will get on into second, and Garcia Soto will score the first run. It's 5-1. That was one that might have been headed foul, and Jones over there at first base, that one probably is going to get scored an error. The ball is roped up the middle, and that is going to bring home another run. Ken Erickson puts on the stop sign with nobody out, and it's 5-2. Elliott rifles that one up the middle. The Bulls already have more runs than they did against Schlotterbeck just a couple of nights ago.
Then came, turned out, a pretty important play. It was first and third, nobody out, and it looked like on a ground ball to third, the Bulls were going to pull to within two. The third baseman, Mora, decides to go home with it, and Galligani, I think, was surprised that that was going home, because if she slides feet first low, or even head first, she gets underneath the tag because the throw was high. Turns out there was just enough space to tag and get it on Galligani to get the out, and that was it. Schlotterbeck was able to keep the margin comfortable at 5-2, and then really not much for either team the next few innings. Again, full credit to Peyton Dixon. An interesting side note to the broadcast, you had members of the FAU baseball team up there watching, of course, their Owls. They actually turned out, I asked the guys, they took one big bus up to Tampa and back home, so they were cheering on the team, and they got to see Kathy Garcia Soto at work. You'll hear some of them comment on one play that won't make the highlight reels necessarily because it's not our usual diving greatness, but a really difficult play, making a strong bid to be repeat defensive player of the year in the conference. And then at the end of this highlight reel, you'll hear, well, FAU center fielder make an incredible play to officially stem the Bulls from being able to try and come back in this one.
That is a blooper. Garcia Soto makes the catch. Dives to grab it.
I'm looking over at the FAU baseball team. The one kid who said that's a hit just gave it, and he's a, I think, yeah, that's their shortstop. Just gave it a look like, oh, man. So a outstanding defensive player from the baseball team was impressed with that one.
That's your defensive player of the year in the conference as a freshman. Probably going to be that again as a sophomore. Kathy Garcia Soto. Up the middle is Garcia Soto, and she drugged her foot across the bag. Amazing play by Garcia Soto. FAU might review it, because basically Garcia Soto had the ball in her glove as she was crossing second base, and the umpire on the field ruled, even though she didn't have a conventional tag, that I think her foot dragged across the bag. We're about to get a replay right here. Yep, no, she did. She did. Foot on the bag. Excellent play. It doesn't have to be on the bag for more than a split second, and she's out. So excellent play. Eigenman drills that ball. That one is caught in center field. Spectacular play, and I mean spectacular. That was Jackson, and that ball was headed to the wall, and a chance for the Bulls to really get back in it was just removed. And if that one is not really high up on the list on SportsCenter, even though I wanted it to not be made, then that's a crime. And Ryan Eigenman was just robbed, speaking of crime. What a play.
So again, Bulls down 6-0 on Saturday, 5-0 on Sunday, and made an effort, a great effort, to come back in both cases. FAU, this case, would win 6-2. Trinity Schlotterbeck finished off the complete game, was named to the AAC Weekly Honor Roll. Dixon dropped to 17-7. Only two of the runs were earned, however, so her ERA stays at 1.72. Bulls and Owls both in this game with six hits, but the three errors turned in by the Bulls turned out to be a little bit costly. So the standings and where the Bulls fit in them and what's ahead. The American Athletic Conference again at the top. You got FAU and Charlotte, both 18-6, North Texas 17-7. By the way, the Mean Green still in the running for a conference title and that important top two finish at worst because of the fact that they won the most incredible doubleheader maybe of the year for any conference team. And Wichita, you talk about feeling bummed out. We'll get to baseball in the next segment and any disappointment that baseball felt, and I felt calling the game on Friday, pales into comparison to this, as North Texas was losing 3-2, going to the bottom of the seventh at home, of course, ties it with the homer, beats Wichita with another homer in the ninth. So how did the Shockers respond? Loading up the bases in the first inning of the second game of the doubleheader Friday. They didn't score. They loaded the bases in the second and the third and didn't score. They stranded 11 in the game, and oh, their pitcher, Chloe Barber, struck out double digits. Had a perfect game going into the fifth, again, while her team should have scored at least a few runs, right? And, of course, North Texas breaks it up with the homer and wins it 1-0. That is why North Texas is still in the running, and that is why right now is in fifth place. Basically, for FAU, if they win two games, no matter what, they'll finish in the top two. They might have to sweep Tulsa at home to be the champion because, of course, Charlotte could sweep North Texas. Charlotte is hosting the Mean Green. Ironically, there's a way that FAU could not win a game and still finish second. That would be Charlotte sweeping North Texas. The Charlotte North Texas winner will be either first or second, and then likely FAU being the other team. Again, it would be hard to see FAU getting swept at home by Tulsa, but that should be interesting. Tulsa is right now trying to hang on to the fourth seed. They're a game ahead of Wichita. Tulsa could not quite finish off the sweep of UTSA. That's who the Bulls travel to end the regular season. Wichita is a game behind. Tulsa holds the head-to-head, but Wichita is playing Memphis this week at home. You got to imagine they'll sweep. So Wichita is either going to be a really dangerous fifth seed or a really dangerous fourth seed, and that's where we bring it to the Bulls. Right now, they slot in as the eighth seed, but if they sweep UTSA, they will be the seventh seed, and I think that's important because the eighth seed matches up with the five, and right now, that would be Wichita. Now, there's a chance that Tulsa's the five. Basically, we assume Wichita sweeps Memphis and FAU wins the series from Tulsa, so there's a chance of that. But either way, the way it brackets is if the Bulls are the eighth seed, they'll either have to start off against Wichita in Wichita, or they'll start off against Tulsa and then probably play Wichita in the second game. If the Bulls finish as the seventh seed, then Wichita's on the other side of the bracket. But if the seeds hold, then you would start off against the sixth seed, which would be the UAB East Carolina winner. And then again, if seeds hold, your last three games that you have to win would be against the three teams that are at the top of the league right now. So regardless of the road, it won't be easy. Interesting that the Bulls are definitely going to be the seven or the eight. Right now, according to the computers, they're the fourth best team in the league. It goes Charlotte, 28 in the new RPI, FAU 40, Wichita 50, just a point ahead of the Bulls at 51. Then Tulsa is 58, and third place North Texas is actually the sixth best, according to the computers, 75. In other words, North Texas, they're going to have to win that series against Charlotte in order to be an at-large team. Wichita is interesting because by numbers, they stand a good chance, but two things. They're barely above 500 at 22-21. That's not at-large material. And they finish up against Memphis, which is not going to help their RPI. And that's where I get into, by the way, this new setup for the conference tournament and why I think it might get changed next year. I love giving the number one seed, the regular season champion, a bye into the semifinals. And I don't mind the two seed getting that bye, but it just doesn't make sense to have such a drop-off between two and three for two reasons. I think it's too much of a drop-off, but if you want your conference to send multiple teams to the NCAA tournament, your top two teams should be already NCAA tournament teams. You're making it harder for the third and the fourth team because you're making them win four games. And sure, that first game is going to be against a weak team. But because that first game that you're making them play against, we're talking about specifically whoever's the third seed against the 10th seed, is not going to help their computer ranking. So they're probably going to have to win the whole thing. It's curious, it's interesting, and it's not unprecedented. I'm a big college basketball guy. I immediately recognize this format of the three playing the 10, et cetera, and the top two teams starting off in the semis. That's what they did first in the Horizon League. In fact, that was Butler's conference. But how it affects the American Athletic Conference in softball is I think it lessens the chance of getting three teams in the NCAA tournament because it makes the road more difficult. Whereas if you did it the way I would do it, and maybe they'll change it for next season, okay, you want to have everybody in the conference tournament, that's fine. Go ahead and give the regular season champion a bye to the semis. They should already be an NCAA tournament team. But give the two, the three, and the four seeds the first round off. Have the other six teams play, 5 versus 10, etc. Those three winners in the first round play the second round against teams 2, 3, and 4. So you go from 10 teams to 7, and then the three second-round winners go to the semifinals. So you have your other NCAA tournament hopefuls, teams 2, 3, and 4, just having to win three games, and you throw out that potential game against a low-ranked team that might hurt your computer ranking. Anyway, you know I can go on longer than that, but that's all we'll do for now. And we'll tell you that on Friday's show. We'll preview the weekend and all of the matchups. But before that, on Thursday, the last coaches show of the season, Bullseye, will feature Ken Erickson and his standout shortstop, Alana Rivera. Thanks for dropping by the podcast page. If you're looking for some baseball highlights, we'll post those for you Tuesday afternoon, actually after we tape the coaches show. And that'll be ahead of tonight's game against Stetson at 6 o'clock, live on Bulls Unlimited. Thanks for dropping by the podcast page.